Akwaba, Akabo, Jambo, and hello again, Bankless Africa.
It's the end of another week, which means it's time for another dose of Sats and Gwe, where we bring you reports, updates, and recaps of some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent and sometimes about the globe. I am Miss Purple.
And I'm probably your favorite crypto buddy, Nike.
Of course, your favorite decentralized reporters from Africa.
The markets seem to be doing really good. Bitcoin is still sitting comfortably at the 27K mark at about $27,549.55. Ethereum is still comfortably sitting at the $1,700 mark at $1,751.20, slightly down from what it was last week at $1,781.63. Optimism is comfortably sitting at $2.26, slightly down from what it was last week at $2.67. The Matic token from Polygon is currently sitting at $1.09, down from what it was last week at $1.19. The Bank token currently sits at $0.007605. And the big one, or at least the one that is currently making several rounds of news across many headlines, is the Arbitrum token, currently sitting at $1.24.
For anybody who managed to get the Arbitrum airdrop, congratulations to you. I hope you use it wisely. I hope it opens many, many doors into this new frontier that we continue to find ourselves moving towards. And moving over to our national currencies, we're going to start off first with the Ghanaian cedi, which is currently at 12.26 cedi to the dollar, up by 0.16% from last week's 12.28 cedi to the dollar. The Nigerian naira is at 460.48 naira to the dollar, down by 0.0087% from last week's 460.44 naira to the dollar. The Lesotho Ludi and South African rand are at 18.42 Ludi and rand to the dollar, up by 2.89% from last week's 18.97 Ludi and rand to the dollar. The Kenyan shilling is at 127.19 shillings to the dollar, up by 3.20% from last week's 131.40 shillings to the dollar. And last but certainly never the least, the Central African CFA franc is currently at 611, that's 611.42 franc to the dollar, down by 0.48% from last week's 608.51 franc to the dollar. And with that, we're going to give you a quick recap of some of the headlines that we found to be particularly interesting from last week's news. My personal favorite, of course, is Kamusida, which is a project seeking to create a Swahili Web3 dictionary for Africa. And I say this because if you have heard, or maybe you haven't heard, but I think language is what moves us as a people. But more than anything, you know, when we are in this arena where we're continuing to grow, there is still so much to be discovered, and it would be absolutely detrimental if people could not be able to participate because of language. So if you want to hear more on that and how to participate within the Kamusi DAO project, be sure to listen to that Sats and Gwe episode from last week.
So I think for me, the headline that really piqued my interest from last week was the headline about, you know, crypto scams and how much money scammers actually make from all of these purported crypto giveaways. And as of last year, that figure was somewhere in the region of $5.9 billion. And the thing is, Namibia is among the top African countries where these scammers have generated the highest revenue as of 2022. So yet again, this is just for emphasis. It is important that before you invest in any project, before you hold any token, before you do anything at all in the cryptosphere, please do proper research and make sure that it is legit. Because to be honest, you could be losing a lot if you don't check it out twice. I mean, and we know that in most cases those losses are pretty much irrecoverable. So do your research and protect yourself as much as you can. And that brings us to a wrap up of headlines from last week. Moving on to headlines from this week, we're kicking off with the headline about the Pan-African Bank, APSA, which is set to join Contour Blockchain Network to enable a digitized end-to-end letter of credit solution across Africa.
The financial services giant Absa is finalizing plans to join Contour, which is a worldwide network of financial institutions, businesses, and trading partners, digitizing letters of credit and other trade financing documents. Absa aims to use this membership as a next step to drive banking, innovation, and growth across the African continent. This move will enable fluidity of trade within the African Continental Free Trade Area and also enhance the letter of credit settlement process through digitalization. According to Michelle Knowles, who is the head of trade and working capital at the Absa CIB, that is the Credit Information Bureau, and I quote, "Digitization is essential to the democratization of trade finance in Africa, assisting SMEs to gain access to the much-needed financing to stimulate trade. Absa has been investing in digital capabilities over the past 5 years. A future access to Contour's platform is also a step forward in further developing our digital roadmap and supporting our clients in their growth ambitions across the continent," end quote. I think this is phenomenal. You know, I think the minute you start moving towards digitizing, that's when it starts to become clear the importance of things such as, you know, blockchain technology. Because I know for a lot of people, the concept of even accessing or using blockchain and depending on blockchain to as a form of storage or as a form of verification for a lot of people is still very daunting. And that's mainly because they have not quite experimented with just simply being digital to begin with and seeing what that can do for, you know, for a whole country, but also for trade and for ease of access. So I'm very interested and very curious to see what this could possibly bring for the entire continent, but also for Absa as well. On to our next headline. Nigerians can now use instant local bank transfers on MetaMask, with more African countries coming soon.
I got to say, this is really phenomenal. Because over the years, Nigeria has strategically positioned itself at the forefront of the African and global crypto stage. Now, MetaMask, I mean, most people should be familiar with MetaMask, has announced an upcoming feature that will allow Africans, specifically Nigerians to start with, to carry out instant local bank transfers. Now, just for context, Nigeria ranks third in the number of active mobile users of the MetaMask platform. This move will also make crypto buying easier by allowing users purchase directly from within the MetaMask environment. MetaMask, via a tweet on the 21st of March 2023, also announced that there would be, and I quote, "no more wahala of credit or debit card declines." Now, if you're Nigerian, you would know that wahala means trouble or problem. So when they say no more wahala of credit or debit card declines, that would mean there will be very little incidences of, you know, failed transactions with your card when you're trying to purchase on MetaMask. Now, MoonPay will be partnering with MetaMask to make this possible. And in a statement by Zishan Feroz, the Chief Product and Strategy Officer at MoonPay, and I quote, "We have rolled out an innovative document-less KYC solution, leveraging governmental databases, allowing users to onboard faster and more safely with MoonPay by providing their bank verification number. The instant transfer feature will be rolled out to Kenya, Botswana, and South Africa over the course of the next month, and subsequently to more African countries." I mean, I feel like this is very particularly suited to me, this solution, because I know that on too many occasions I've tried to make purchases with my card on MetaMask. I mean, at least until I gave up, but never goes through because, you know, the Nigerian Central Bank instituted a policy, or at least most banks here have a policy where you cannot spend $20 on your card. And I think as of right now, you can't even spend any dollars on your local card. You have to have a dollar card of some sort. And I think that this is a solution. The fact that they are trying to now use a local payments processor, or somehow MoonPay would have to work with, you know, like local payments processors to make this happen. Like, regardless of whether or not you have a dollar card, you would still be able to make purchases of, you know, crypto and all that from within the MetaMask environment. I think that solves a problem for a lot of people, including me. And it's a feature I would be willing to try out as soon as it is available ASAP. I'm moving on to the next headline. Experts say Bitcoin and stablecoins will bring crypto mass adoption to Africa.
Blockchain experts are bullish on the fact that Bitcoin and stablecoins will continue to be the key drivers for mass crypto adoption in Africa. Now, persons living on the African continent are very unrelenting in the adoption of cryptocurrency, ourselves included. African countries have made several rounds of headlines in the blockchain ecosystem, with a very significant one being the recognition of Bitcoin as legal tender in the Central African Republic. Following this up with a comment, Marius Reitz, who is the general manager for African crypto exchange Luno, said, and I quote, "I think in the future, in 10 years or so, you could start seeing a situation where neighboring countries also start to declare Bitcoin as legal tender. Bitcoin could become a regional currency, or it could even become a common currency across the African Union," end quote. This is, of course, only a speculation, but can, however, quickly become a reality across the continent with increasing stablecoin utility and growing Bitcoin popularity. I think in many ways, this could be what a lot of people are hoping for, but I think it's also important for us to note that these two are not the only two things that can continue to drive adoption, because, you know, that's mainly just for adoption in terms of, you know, just from a layman perspective, you still need people who develop. We can't just be consumers at this point. You know, I don't think we're here to just take whatever blockchain says, you know, this is an app for you. Here is DeFi, just participate. That's not what we're here to just be doing. You know, I believe that there are also builders in the fray who will not just be building on, you know, Bitcoin or other stable coins or whatever. There are endless opportunities, but the point being made is that Bitcoin and stable coins could be the cornerstone towards actually driving people towards being more curious and perhaps allowing for a much easier form of access for a lot of people. As, of course, you know, these are things that are more talked about than any of the other chains, networks, or anything of the sort. So it will be quite interesting to see what does happen in 10 years, like Marius mentioned, because a lot can happen in just 1 year. So 10 years could be a phenomenal experimental, you know, period for us to look into and see exactly where we're at. But we also need to be very, very careful, especially given how the rest of the world is, you know, behaving towards crypto. So we need to be intentional in setting ourselves apart in that way and being certain that we are doing what works for us and not so much just doing it because people say it could be done or people say we should do it. So above all else, we should put our needs as the African people above everything else because we're here looking for our freedom and our ability to access wealth. And with that, we're going to move over to our next headline. An Africa-focused venture capital firm called EcoVC launches a blockchain fund.
EcoVC has launched a fund to support blockchain startups across the African continent. Now, over the course of the past year, the blockchain industry has, as we all know, witnessed a massive decline in investor funding due to the many shortfalls in the industry in recent times. Now, the $8 million fund launched by EcoVC will be made accessible to blockchain startups in Africa that are attempting to solve the continent's most pressing problems using blockchain technology. According to the founder of EcoVC, Egosa Omogui, in his comment on the situation of declining investment, and I quote, "While this has somewhat reduced VC appetite for crypto investing, we continue to remain excited about the useful applications of crypto and blockchain in Africa and believe that crypto founders in Africa will continue to build for functionality to solve problems in Africa," end quote. Now, the funding is mainly targeting startups in Kenya, Nigeria, South Africa, and Uganda, with a focus on using blockchain technology to transform the continent. Well, I support this. You know, over the course of the past year, we've definitely seen a lot of lows. Too many things have happened that if we weren't so bullish on the belief that this is still the future, I feel like a lot of people might have abandoned it. And I feel like some people already have because they've probably been casualties too many times or they've lost too much and they just cannot see a way forward. And I think this is like a daredevil move in the middle of all this. This is like a shout out and kudos to all the VCs that are still providing funding to blockchain startups. Now, moving on to the next headline. Cheaper Cash is alleged to be weighing in on the possibility of a sale.
Chipcash, which was backed by both FTX and Silicon Valley Bank, that is SVB, is currently weighing options on the future of the business. Now, according to an official report, the fintech company began exploring its options before SVB's collapse, but it has yet to reach a decision. Now, in late 2021, Chipcash successfully raised $150 million in a Series C extension, which was led by FTX. SVB had led the first Series C with Desiance Capital, Ribbit Capital, Bezos Expeditions, One Way Ventures, and Tribe Capital also participating. Now, although Chipcash has never sought to be acquired, they have mentioned that as can be expected, they received various M&A proposals from different parties, which they evaluate to varying degrees. On March the 12th, Chipcash co-founder and CEO Ham Suronjogi stated that the fintech company had insignificant exposure to both SVB and Signature Bank. Now, at the time of SVB's collapse, they had about $1 million with SVB. It is important to note that in 2022, following the collapse of FTX, Chipcash saw its valuation drop from $2 billion in Q4 to $1.25 billion also in Q4. The CEO said, and I quote, "SVB wasn't the only investor in that round. We had several other new and existing investors participate in the $100 million round, and SVB owns a very small part of Chipper. That's around 2%. Chipper is very fortunate to have a very broad and supportive investor base that has supported us from our earliest days and continues to do so," end quote. Now, when I, of course, came across these news, I thought Chipcash is selling. It was just the way certain news is, you know, put forward that it makes you think, oh, okay, you're going to think the worst. But I think it's very daunting sometimes, and it's very scary and concerning when you see certain news bits and then you look further into it and you realize that that's not what is being said. So for anybody who has perhaps heard that Chipcash is selling, that is not the case, at least according to the CEO. That is not the case. They have had offers and, you know, they are considering what to do with, you know, the future of the business, but they have not decided to sell Chipcash as yet at this current moment. So please don't believe that. Be sure to always do extra research. Be certain what it is that you are perhaps sharing with other people before you inform people that something is fact, when indeed it is not quite fact. It's just merely some news that one may have come across. And moving on to our next headline, a South African court has dismissed former Monero developer's bid to have his extradition declared as illegal.
Monero is a cryptocurrency designed to keep transactions hidden from prying eyes. Now, former Monero lead developer, Ricardo Spagni, also known as Fluffy Pony, was arrested on fraud charges in July of 2021. Now, although he was initially arrested in Tennessee, he was extradited to South Africa, where he was then charged with 378 counts of fraud following allegations that he defrauded his former employer of more than $93,500 between October 2009 and June 2012. Spagni had made an attempt to have his extradition from the United States to South Africa ruled as illegal. A South African court has, however, dismissed this claim. In its official ruling, the court argues that Spagni had legal representation when he voluntarily waived his rights during an extradition hearing. Therefore, he cannot question the validity of the extradition process. Now, finally, in July of 2022, Spagni, who had initially resisted the extradition, eventually agreed to return to South Africa on the condition that his, and I quote, "release on warning had not been cancelled and that the state had to cancel it," end quote. This, of course, paved the way for Spagni's transfer from U.S. custody to South African law enforcement. Well, this is just another classic case of, I don't know what to call it, greed, or just, you know, people trying to take advantage of other people, obviously, because this is an obvious case of fraud. I mean, $93,500 is a significant amount. I mean, it's not necessarily running into the millions of dollars, but fraud is fraud and it should not be glorified in any case. Now, moving on to the next headline. Egyptian authorities arrest 29 people over alleged crypto scam.
Moving on to your next headline, Egyptian authorities have arrested 29 people, 13 of them being foreign citizens. State media confirms that the 29 were arrested on the count of online cryptocurrency scams that defrauded thousands of investors under the name Hogpool. On them, they had 95 mobile phones, 3,367 SIM cards, and 41 foreign bank cards. They are said to have pocketed $620,000 at the expense of the citizens of Egypt, whose economy is currently in a crisis and also faces a rapid inflation, which surged to 25.8% in January, their highest level in 5 years. Now, Hogpool came about in August, according to social media, promising financial gains after having lured people by fraudulent means, according to a statement by the prosecution. Now, crypto is illegal in Egypt. The act of even dabbling in it is punishable by prison time and a fine of up to $325,000. They abruptly halted their operations in February and vanished with the money. Authorities say they were planning to launch a new platform called Riot when they were eventually arrested. There are so many points to address here before we move on from this, but 41 foreign bank cards between 29 people. How easy is it for them to get foreign bank cards? Like, that's a concern, right? That is extremely, I guess, concerning, because it means you just get foreign cards and then you just go there and then you just do scams and the banks didn't see that you were doing nonsense. That's very worrying, because that should have been 41 different, you know, trackers making sure what the heck is going on here. Because, I mean, if you're a bank, you should know these things. You should certainly notice if there is some sinister behavior. So I would have expected at least of those cards, all of them should have picked something up at some point or another, unless you know how to defraud the system, or maybe fraud the system, who knows. But with that, we have unfortunately come, or maybe fortunately, come to the end of this week's news headlines. And I mean, I know that a lot of them do tend to be negative sometimes, but I think that is a reminder that we need to be careful. You know, everybody who listens to Bankless, you all know that everything here is dangerous. You know, nothing is for certain. Everything is, it's all an experiment. And we're all trying our hand at this new league of freedom and this new league of, you know, access that we have not quite been able to access before. So always, always be careful. Just a reminder, of course, that none of what we've shared here is financial advice, only the opinions of the individuals that make the show possible. You can always use the links in the show notes to do your own research. And once again, just a quick reminder that we have reached our goal of 10,000 listeners and subscribers by the end of Q1, but we managed to reach that before the end of Q1. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts for every single time you listen, every single time you share this with your friends. And if you perhaps have not quite done so, be sure to subscribe, share it some more, and leave a rating, or, you know, leave a comment or anything of the sort to ensure that we can continue to give you the episodes and the content that you are hoping to see. So until next time, remember to be relentless in your mission to be bankless.